Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Brockhaus Technologies AG business update. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to Marco Brockhaus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Marco Brockhaus speaking. Elevating champions, that's what we do, and that's what we did with Pallas. And we would like to use this morning to present you the key highlights of the Pallas seal, what it's all about, and why we did it lately. Maybe let me start from the history of Pallas and the acquisition back in the end of 2018, 4 years ago. Since we bought Pallas in 2018, we had continuously interest from strategic as well as financial investors from day one. I recall a call from the U.S. back in December 2018 from one of Pallas' largest rivals that they were interested in acquiring Pallas. And at that time we said, thank you very much, but not of interest for us. Due to Pallas' unbelievable growth in the past 4 years, the interest was always there, and not only from the U.S. but also from other regions. And finally, as you all heard last Thursday, Swedish Indutrade was the one where we believed it is the best harbor for the business, a strategic price, and see a very good development for Pallas in the future. But I will come to that later on. First of all, I want to take the moment and say thank you very much for the Pallas team and for the team of Brockhaus Technologies that really a great success and the strong operational development of Pallas under the roof of us, of Brockhaus Technology, doubling actually nearly all its financial KPIs within the span of the last 4 years. And that is what we call elevating champions. They are champions when we buy them, and we have the clear task to elevate them to the next level and even higher. The strategic valuation of 100 million euros underlying the attractiveness of Pallas, as well what we believe proving the fundamental value of Brockhaus Technologies. We reached what we believe maybe reaching in 24 or 25, we reached the cash compounding modus after high value realization of 59 million upfront at closing last Thursday, plus an additional earnout of potentially up to 17 million in 23 and 24 respectively. Forecast 2022 is solely adjusted due to deconsolidation of Pallas. Let me go into more detail here on the transaction. The development, as I mentioned before, since December 2018 is tremendously, almost doubling of revenues from 12 million to 20 million. Actually, we bought the business also back on 2017, so in that term, it is definitely more than doubling. And EBITDA from 3 million to 7 million, and EBIT from 3 million to 6 million from 2018 to 2021. We did a very successful international expansion with the market entry and strong expansion into Asia, especially with the business in Hong Kong and Shanghai, establishing a local team in lockdowns and still in lockdowns, and grew the business there. We set up scalable structures for future and further growth, for example, by expanding the management team, including a chief sales officer, Michael Wolf, take over, and he is what we believe really a great international successful sales manager out of Shanghai, as well as the CFO, and establishing an advisory board consisting of industry experts from our network. All that, we implemented target growth strategy into new markets and end applications. Just remembering the MAST test in COVID times, which brought us additional revenues unexpectedly. You see on the right side the value realization through sale of Pallas. We invested actually in 2018 15 million in cash and 3 million in shares, in total 18 million of equity, which now results in 59 million of cash proceeds last Thursday, plus a maximum earnout of 17 million if Pallas reaches the 23 and 24 business plan, which we believe is realistic, and therefore we were fine with this earnout structure in the SPA with Indutrade. That would mean if the earnout, the maximum earnout is reached, the total sale proceeds would increase to roughly 76 million of cash for Brockhaus Technologies. What kind of effect on group leverage you see on the next page? With debt from loans of roughly 117 million prior to the transaction and cash equivalents of roughly 23 million, so in total net debt of 94 million from loans and other financial liabilities of 8.2 million, and net debt from bike leasing from leasing, we had a total 2.3 net debt September 2022 adjusted pro forma EBITDA financial year 2021, not 2021. This is now heavily reduced to roughly 1.1 times indicative net debt to adjusted EBITDA pro forma FY 2021. Due to an indicative change through sale of Pallas of roughly 67 million. The 67 million includes the cash of 59 plus the net debt, which was on the balance sheet as of last Thursday of Pallas. And this reduces our net debt excluding Pallas, indicative of roughly 46.6 million euros, which gives us, and that's the important message for the market and for ourselves, room to maneuver means we can acquire potentially new companies for a three-digit number. So what do we believe? We believe we are optimal positioned for future growth, given strong cash conversion and cash position pre- and post-Pallas sale. Very conservative leverage ratio, as mentioned. Our target value, as you know, quite conservative, is 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA. And our EBITDA is growing. It's not decreasing, it's growing. So we believe that this will even become lower at the end of this year if you see indicative net debt EBITDA adjusted 2022 versus 21. So to sum it up, we have a high balance sheet quality underlying our resilience of our business model, and we're looking forward to the future to find these champions and to evaluate them to the next level. With that short intro of the sale of Pallas, I would like to hand over to Harald Henning to dig deeper into the numbers and the effect on our group P&L. Harald?
Yes, thank you very much, Marco, and good morning, everyone. As on some occasions, we do still have some specialties in our consolidated IFRS accounting that would like to jump in into you with you on the next page. So usually when we acquire a company, we have to fully consolidate revenue, other income items and their costs, starting with the point in time when we obtain control over the business, so usually the closing of an acquisition. When you sell a business, as we did now, it is somewhat differently. So you still have to fully consolidate the net income into your financials. However, the profit and loss statement above net income is the exact rules can be seen in IFRS 5, but the rest is to be disclosed or presented only as continuous operations. What will that mean? That means that every revenue and other cost contribution by Pallas, we will have to subtract from revenue, change in finished goods and all those items and put it into one item which we highlighted in green below, so which is profit from discontinued operations. That adjustment has to be performed retrospectively. That means when you will look into our consolidated financial statements 2022, you will see a decreased revenue figure for 2021 as well. So because it's an ex post reclassification. The effects will be in 2021 lower revenue as by the contribution of Pallas. And there will be the line item profit of discontinued operations that in 2021, so last year, will only show the net income contribution of Pallas. And for 2022, it will show on the one side the income of Pallas, however, plus our income from the sale of the business. So proceeds that we received minus the book value of net assets of Pallas. Of course, how this amount is composed of will be disclosed in the notes in detail. I will proceed, of course, happy to answer any questions you might have later on in the Q&A. What I just explained has, of course, a respective effect on our forecast for the current fiscal year. And what I would like to stress here, the last forecast that you see composes of a part of bike leasing revenue, a part of IHSE revenue, and a part of Pallas revenue. And when we are selling Pallas and having to deconsolidate, and not only for December, but as I just explained, for the rest of the P&L for the whole year, we will not be able to present Pallas in revenue, and therefore we reduced our forecast accordingly. And what I would like to stress, this is the only effect. So there are no changes in our assessment of the top line or profitability of our other business segments, but this is the sole and only effect that led to the adjustment of forecast. That concludes my part, and happy to hand back over to Marco.
Yeah, thank you very much, Harald. Coming to the group forecast 2022 adjusted solely due to deconsolidation of Pallas, as mentioned, we are now expecting revenues of 130 to 135 million euros, which is up 24 to 28% from 2021. This is forecast pre-Pallas deconsolidation, which was 150 to 155 million. So down from that due to Pallas deconsolidation. And adjusted EBITDA margin 35%, 2021 was 39, and forecast pre-Pallas deconsolidation was 35. That remains the same as Pallas had 35%. EBITDA also expected. Corresponding adjusted EBITDA will be 46 to 47 million now. This is up 11 to 16% from 2021, and which was 41 million EBITDA. So to sum it up, we believe that the sale of Pallas was the right move at the right moment in time. We are now in a cash compounding cycle, which is great.
do not need to tap the market for an additional capital increase, which is very good for all shareholders in terms of dilution. That is at least the case for a transaction up to, let's say, 100 million euros in enterprise value. And with that, I would conclude our quick update on the sale of Pallas, and happy to take all your questions. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and the star key on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel your question, press 9 and the star key again. And the first question comes from Ross Jobber. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry.
Ross?
On mute. Quick question, if I may. To what extent, if at all, does this new cash injection from the sale of Pallas change the way that you are processing your funnel of opportunities? Does it change your focus in terms of, you talked about triple-digit acquisitions now being very realistic. I just wonder if it's changed the way you're processing and the sort of companies that you're going to look at. Thank you.
Yeah, Marco, yeah, no, it doesn't change. We're just looking at companies with high margin innovation and technology leadership and the power to set the price in their respective markets and B2B. That's it. And that will remain like this. However, potentially, we are able, without, you know, further tapping the market with a capital increase, to do such transactions just from the balance sheet. And that's what I wanted to say and what I mentioned.
Next question, or any follow-ups to that, or?
The next question comes from Stefan Augustin. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Well, a good question. I mean, actually, it would be from the perspective of how to use the money for acquisitions, make no change, but do you intend to pay down the bike leasing acquisition debt now immediately, or is it something that, let's say, needs to be seen depending how other opportunities evolve?
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Augustin, Marco Borkhaus. We paid back the vendor note on top on AG level. Or we will, actually. We got them noticed last week already. That was an immediate reaction and will be paid back by end of this week. So, in other words, AG does not have any financial debt anymore end of this week. Further repayments or so are yet not, let's say, foreseen or so. We want to use the cash potentially for new acquisitions. And, as always, the funnel is there, and we are looking at a couple of transactions right now, and we'll make use of the cash plus additional debt once it's needed. And once we find an acquisition target which we believe is a real champion.
Mm-hmm. And in light of that, let's say, of the disposal, does that bring any change to your perception how to possibly use a share buyback, or is it, let's say, one of the possibilities to invest as it has been before?
Yeah, just on that topic of share buybacks, as you are probably aware, we received the approval by our AGM in June, I think it was this year. So we have the option to do that, and you can be sure we have that optionality on our radar. But nothing decided yet.
Okay, thank you very much.
And we have a follow-up question from Ross Jobber. Please go ahead.
Hi, one further question. How would you answer the comment if you were talking to a business that you were about, you know, interested in acquiring, if the chief executive at the company said, look, I really like Brockhaus, I love the environment, I love the entrepreneurial nature, I love the management team, but I'm worried about selling my business to Brockhaus because they might sell me on to a larger competitor in a few years' time, how would you answer that in a discussion?
I would answer with what the CEO of Pallas did, because I would answer, what would you do in the case you would have 30% of the business?
Okay, thank you.
Right, I mean, this was in the case of Pallas, and right so and good so. Why? Because we received now, first of all, our preference share. So we had a higher cash in on the transaction than the management. And that's why we believe that the future potential earnout is achievable because the CEO of Pallas is highly motivated to reach the business plan 2023 and 2024 due to our preference shares in the first deal.
And just one point to add, hey Ross, it's Paul, because you mentioned, I think, in the end of your question, selling off to a competitor. Just to be clear, Indutrade is not a competitor of Pallas, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So if you, I would be totally with you, if we would have sold Pallas to, I don't know, Thermo Fisher or Teledyne or anything, this is something different, then they would probably close down the brand, close down the location, etc. But this is all not the case here. Indutrade is a strategic buyer, but not a competitor. They have, I think, around 20 measurement businesses within their group, but they keep them running individually. They have operational synergies that can help Pallas in the future. So for Pallas on a standalone basis, even though it sounds a bit altruistic now, for Pallas standalone, it's also a great platform to further accelerate on, but they will remain independent. It will remain Pallas as it is and not be part of a competitor also, just to be very clear.
Yeah, that's Marco here. To add that also what Paul just said, that was very important for us. I didn't mention that in the first answer because there were other competitors very interested in the business. And as I mentioned in my beginning statement in 2018, it was right away some rival from the U.S., right? And we saw Indutrade as the ideal harbor for the business because of exactly that question you asked, that we have a good approach way forward to potential targets.
Great, thank you. And can I just ask if there are any sort of, if I might call them, lingering complications associated with the disposal, for example, whether or not Pallas is using, you know, shared Brockhaus CRM systems or HR systems or any other sort of IT systems that are going to take time to disintegrate or disentangle from the Brockhaus group, or is it really quite a clean break because you run these businesses extremely autonomously?
Second sentence answers the question. So there is no integration into some kind of shared CRM. Of course, we do have integration with respect to financial consolidation and reporting, but that is nothing that would cause us any effort now when Pallas will report on its own. So it was pretty straightforward.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from Hevel Franklin. Please go ahead.
Hi, Will Franklin at Mirabeau. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
It's just on the environment for acquisitions at the moment. Can you just talk about how pricing and availability have changed over the last months? Obviously, we see what's going on in public market pricing, but just keen to understand what you see within your target markets, whether they're kind of more evergreen in nature or whether they kind of correlate to those markets. Thank you.
Yep, Marco here. It is what we see. There is a clear slow movement in potential transaction coming from or out of investment banks, but that was always only 1/3 of our channel. So we are looking right now to more, let's say, exclusive or directly contacted or via network transactions. We do not see a lot of closed transactions, right? And that actually underlines the value of the Pallas transaction and the value itself of the Pallas company, because to close a transaction, that's at least what we were told and what we see in the market, is not that easy at the moment. From my experience, being 25 years by now in that market, in private deal market, I always saw a time lag between capital markets reacting in valuations due to in private markets of at least 1 year, sometimes even 2 years. I do remember that in the time after Lehman crashes, it was best to do deals in mid-end of 2009, 2010. I believe it could be, it's, I don't know, but it could be here the same kind of situation, and therefore I believe it is good to have room to maneuver, to have cash and to have potential capacity for new transactions. Does that answer your question? Hello?
I think he fell out of the line. We have another question here, and it comes from Lasse Stüben. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I just want to ask about it was clearly quite attractive, but I'm just wondering, given your comments about, you know, you're regularly getting in offers from strategic buyers, why specifically this one and why specifically now? Because I understand, you know, it gives you a lot more headroom now going into, you know, the coming year to make acquisitions. So I'm just wondering, is this maybe, you know, driven by a bigger target you're currently dealing with, or if you just shed more light on the exact timing of the sale, that would be great. Thanks.
Sure. So it's not because we have a specific big target in front of us that we need to finance now and needed to search for liquidity, so definitely not. We were getting regular inbounds by both strategic as well as normal financial investors over the last 4 years. The inbounds were, however, either not interesting enough for us or not, let's say, serious or certain enough, right? Just highlighting the idea of interest is nice, but really coming with a foundation to do your to communicate your interest on is something different. So background on the transaction was that we received the inbound from a strategic that was very certain about it a couple of months ago, which we used then as a let's say a kickoff to say, okay, let's mirror that interest with a couple of other strategic names in the market just to see what is interesting or what is not interesting and what the real strategic view on Pallas is.
And who were interested.
And who were interested in the past, correct. And in the end, it was Indutrade who had the best, let's say, all-in-all offer for us and for Pallas on the table. And yeah, that's the background. There's no certain time where you say, now is the, I mean, it's not a regulatory change or so where we said now we need to exit Pallas. It's always a a pro and con a list you need to do, because Pallas is the undisputed technology leader in that space. They are a cost leader, and there's no doubt about the potential in the market. However, having a very attractive offer, as you have now seen on the table, we as the team need to, together with the management also, who are also invested in Pallas, we need to put it on a, let's say, in German, on a vague way, to weigh pros and cons against each other and say, what potential do we have in the next year? What risks and uncertainties are associated with this potential that we see? versus the potential and value that we can realize today for all shareholders involved. And in the end, it's it's not a clear decision you can make, but you need to let's say discount the potential you see and compare it to the potential we can realize today and what we can do with the proceeds we get from today in the future. And that's what we've done here. And in this case, we decided for it makes a lot of sense to realize the value now for several reasons that Marco mentioned before. New acquisitions, full optionality also with regards to potential share buybacks where we have the approval for being ready for the market when maybe prices come a bit down in the next month or so. So that was the whole background to it. Why today?
Understood. And maybe just one follow-up. I mean, strategically, you know, you took the business to Asia. Did you kind of feel like from a strategic path, you took the business as far as you could with your capabilities? Was that also a driver of the sale, or was there still sort of a bit of a runway to do that where, you know, there was sort of more, let's say, low-hanging fruit to improve the business?
No, that's definitely not the case. I mean, we could have progressed further with Palace, right? So we were pretty close to opening our own presence in the U.S., et cetera. We were still in the stages of further developing Asia, which has kicked off nicely, but there's more potential to be grabbed. So it's not a decision where we say we cannot bring them any further. Definitely not. It's just a question in what speed can you realize the value that is being realized or has been realized last week? How quickly and what time frame can you realize that value for the shareholders involved also? Plus, and that's going back to the point I just phrased a bit more altruistic, also the potential in that market is as big that for Palace as a company itself, it's also good to let's say, be on a already global platform where they can harvest more potential immediately, right, through operational synergies. But we could have progressed as before, right? We have the clear potential in front of us, but it would take time, plus the execution risk associated, plus the uncertainties that we've seen over the last few years also associated. So you always need to discount that potential that you see in the future. And of course, we did that with the management team together, which brought us to the conclusion it's better to realize now.
Super. Thanks very much.
Okay, so at the moment there seem to be no further questions. If you would like to state another question, please press 9 and the star key on your telephone. I will leave the line open just a few seconds. Okay, there seem to be no further questions, so let me hand back over to your host for some closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much, everyone, to listening to this. We believe this was the right movement at the right time for Brockhaus Technologies. We are now in the position without capital increase to do further acquisitions. And we believe that we really elevate Palace to the next level. And with that, I would like to close this call today. And thank you very much for your attendance.